County hour, right?
Maybe.
Sure does.
To support of select committee. Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes, sir. I know, right?
Thank you, Speaker. Good evening, everyone. The Rules, Ethics, and Adjustment Committee met, and we are reporting the number ONCA 1842, an act to authorize and appropriate $644,551 to capital asset and improvement fund for the listed capital asset and improvement projects and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Shannon Edwards. Is there a co-sponsor? Just checking. Okay.
Fine.
Alright. The final committee action is do passes properly gross with two yes votes from Goodfox and Stabler. I was absent to attend the Purple Heart community event. ONCA 1848, an act to provide an appropriation to the executive branch of the Osage Nation for fiscal year 2019 in the amount of $75,591,615 and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Maria Whitehorn. The final committee action is due pass is properly engrossed with three yes votes from Pratt, Goodfox, and Stabler. ONCA 1849, an act to provide an appropriation for cultural donations in the amount of $93,500 and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Paula Stabler. The final committee action is due pass is properly engrossed with three yes votes from Goodfox and Stabler. I was absent. Bill number ONCA 1875, an act to authorize and appropriate the sum of $100,000 to the matching grant fund for the Indian Health Service Office of Environmental Health and Engineering for a cost analysis of an updated sanitation system which includes investigation, monitoring, and design to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Joe Tillman, co-sponsors Randy Lindman, Paula Stabler. The final committee action is due pass is properly engrossed with two yes votes from Goodfox, Stabler. I was absent. ONCR 1822, a resolution to request the title to property in Skagit, Oklahoma from the Hilton Law Office. The sponsor is RJ Walker. The final committee action is due pass is properly engrossed with two yes votes from Goodfox, Stabler. I was absent. ONCR 1829, a resolution to authorize and appropriate execution of a proprietary information agreement with Honeywell International and to authorize a limited waiver of sovereign immunity from suit and a consent to jurisdiction. The sponsor is Paula Stabler. The final committee action is due pass is properly engrossed with two yes votes from Pratt, Goodfox, Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Mayor.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes. Bill passes. There is an alternate effective date. All those in favor of the alternate effective date say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed say no. Effective date passes. Bill number ONCA 1842 referred to the Rules. $5,591,615 and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Whitehorn. Congresswoman Whitehorn, how would you like to proceed?
I'll pose.
Are there any members who wish to speak for or against this bill? Seeing none, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of Congress, Assistant Chief. Just wanted to briefly say this executive branch bill, appropriation bill, is a huge undertaking, and I wanted to thank all of the committees for working well together, getting their sections out. I wanted to thank the executive offices for being cooperative, and I believe this is a really good appropriations session. So thank you very much, and I urge you to vote yes. Thank you.
Thank you for your hard work. The question is, shall the bill pass?
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes. The bill passes. There is an alternate effective date. All of those in favor of the alternate effective date say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed say no. The alternate effective date passes. Bill number ONCA 1848 is referred to enrollment. Next is bill number ONCA 1849, an act to provide an appropriation for cultural donations in the amount of $93,500 and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Stabler. Congresswoman Stabler, how would you like to proceed?
I'll close.
Are there any members who wish to speak for or against this bill? Seeing none, Congresswoman Stabler?
I'll wait.
Okay. The question is, shall the bill pass?
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Abstain.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Woman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congressman Woman Lemon.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes. The bill passes. There is an alternate effective date. All of those in favor of the alternate effective date say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. The alternate effective date passes. Bill number ONCA 1849 is referred to enrollment. Next is bill number ONCA 1875, an act to authorize and appropriate the sum of $100,000 to the matching grant fund for the Indian Health Service Office of Environmental Health and Engineering for a cost analysis of an updated sanitation system, which includes investigation, monitoring, and design, and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congressman Tillman. Congressman Tillman, how would you like to proceed?
I'll close.
Are there any members who wish to speak for or against this bill? Seeing none, Congressman Tillman?
Wait one time.
Okay. The question is, shall the bill pass?
Congressman Mason.
Abstain.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes. The bill passes. There is an alternate effective date. All of those in favor of the alternate effective date say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Any opposed say no. The alternate effective date passes. Bill number ONCA 1875 is referred to enrollment. Mm-hmm.
Next is Resolution Number ONCR 1822, a resolution to request the title to property in Skytook, Oklahoma, from the Hilton Law Office. I am the sponsor, and I will reserve my time to close. Are there any members who wish to speak for or against this resolution? Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Mr. Speaker, members of Congress, Assistant Chief, I'm going to be voting no for this resolution. And I did a little more research into the language of the lease, a lease agreement. And I also have in my email an email from Mr. Hilton, who's holding this deed in his safe. And he instructs the Congress that for the Osage Nation to purchase the daycare property, I need a congressional resolution or equivalent that authorizes the purchase of the daycare property for $500. I looked through the lease, and I don't see anywhere in the lease where there needs to be a resolution of Congress to exercise the option to get the deed entitled to this property, which has already been executed and is just sitting there waiting in the safe for it. The lease term says, upon execution of this lease, the landlord will execute a lawful general warranty deed to the Osage Nation, a federally recognized Indian tribe. Landlord and tenant authorize and request the Hilton Law Office to hold the fully executed deed until at such time as the tenant exercises its option and directs the Hilton Law Office to transfer possession of said general warranty deed to the tenant. It also goes on to say, I'm going to skip a sentence. No, I'm not going to skip anything. Landlord and tenant authorize and request Hilton Law Office to transfer possession of said general warranty deed to tenant upon tenant exercising its option. Tenant may then file the same, and it's at its own cost. This is what I was going to read. Upon expiration of the lease term set forth above, the landlord and the tenant authorize and request that Hilton Law Office transfer the possession of said general warranty deed to tenant if tenant has not previously exercised his option. By function of this lease, that deed is coming to the Osage Nation without this resolution whatsoever. There's nothing in here that says there needs to be a resolution of Congress to get this deed. At one time, Congress filed suit on this very lease purchase agreement that I'm reading from because we thought there might be some problems or some issues with it. But yet now Congress is turning around and the language of the resolution is that we're exercising our option, which is in this, which is contained within this lease document that I'm reading. So at one time, I thought that our courts needed to look at this and resolve our issues. I can't be of two minds about that. I still think that this at some level needed some type of review. And now, by passing this resolution of Congress, what it says to me is it's okay. We really didn't mean to question that. We're just going to go along with whatever transaction is here. And I might point out to Congress that there was not a resolution of Congress in order to enter into this lease purchase agreement or for those people to execute a general warranty deed to us. I don't understand why this body thinks that it's necessary to have a resolution of Congress to procure the deed. The the lease agreement that was executed on the 27th of June 2016 by Chief Standing Bear does not say that anywhere within this information. So I believe the chief can go over and exercise the option anytime he wants to, or by function of this lease, when the lease term ends, we get the deed without a resolution of Congress. It's automatic, contained within this document. Thank you.
Are there any other members who wish to speak for or against this resolution? Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I won't, again, rehash a lot of what originally I believe needed to be discussed, which was in ONCR 1824. My comments today will be germane to 1822. And as the Speaker knows, initially I was in support of this resolution. I signed on to it as a co-sponsor. I've since withdrawn my name. And it's due to reading back over that lease agreement, as a colleague has previously said. In reading through that lease agreement in a committee meeting, I believe the conclusion that's been drawn is simple. The lease is ours after 5 years. It's in the lease purchase agreement. Despite the $500 that Mr. Hilton claims needs to be paid to him having already been paid to him. The money's already there in Mr. Hilton's trust account. The deed's ours. There's a paper trail of that. And despite a threat from Mr. Hilton to give the deed back to the Nolans if we don't exercise in a timely option. It says in the lease purchase agreement, the deed's ours. If we don't exercise the option in the next 5 years, the deed reverts to the nation automatically. And so upon rereading that in that committee meeting and upon further discussion and reflection, I don't see this resolution as necessary. There's a lot more that can be said, but I believe that everybody is ready to put this to bed. And I'm ready for it to go to bed as well. I don't think anybody at this table was ever against furthering the education of our students. Nobody was against the purchase of a building. It was clearly on the manner in which it was done. And I believe that we've had enough discussion on that. I'm ready to move forward. I'm ready to have this facility for our kids. But I think that the way we do things matters. And I plan to be more vigilant in my term in Congress on how we move forward with such projects. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Are there any other members who wish to speak for or against this resolution? I'm not going to get up here and rehash a lot of the things that have been discussed for the last 3 or 4 months. I really kind of wish that we weren't at the end of the session talking about this, considering putting it to bed, or however you want to put it. There was a dark cloud hovering around the Congress right after we were elected, and to me it was this. And I'll go back to some of the things that I stated in an email that I sent to Congress. I didn't agree with how the transaction took place. I was on the previous Congress and was one of the 11 members that voted to initiate the lawsuit. I changed my mind. I felt, after a while, for the betterment of the nation, the relationship with the executive branch, and moving forward, that it wasn't a worthwhile lawsuit. Not that it wasn't worthwhile in a discovery, but in the end game. What it was going to cost, not just monetarily, but in the relationship between the two branches. So I stated that I was going to file this resolution. I did. And I don't disagree with anything that, let me back. I don't disagree with hardly anything that Congressman Potts or Congresswoman Whitehorn has stated. But I'm ready for the dark cloud to be gone. I'm ready to quit talking about it. And I am ready to put this thing to bed. And I'm ready for the warranty deed to be in the hands of the Osage Nation. I would urge you to vote yes. And thank you. The question is, shall the resolution pass?
Congressman Potts.
No.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
No. No.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes, the resolution passes and is referred to enrollment. Next is resolution number ONCR 1829, a resolution to authorize and approve execution of a proprietary information agreement with Honeywell International, Inc., and to authorize a limited waiver of sovereign immunity from suit and a consent to jurisdiction. The sponsor is Congresswoman Stabler. Congresswoman Stabler wishes to close. Are there any members who wish to speak for or against this resolution? Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Mr. Speaker, members of Congress, we had two very good commerce and gaming and land meetings over this resolution. Two. The ranch board came and was involved in the meeting today. I understand what this waiver of sovereign immunity does. I understand it is just for Honeywell's protection from their trade secrets while we discuss if we're going to move forward in some type of business form with them. I understand that. I understand that everybody is pretty comfortable with it, including our ranch board. I do understand that. I have a problem with the PIA agreement because it is so broadly cast. That's my issue right now. It encompasses everybody within the Osage Nation. I believe that a little bit refining of that document that would have held it more exclusive to elected officials and ranch board members, maybe the people in the departments that it included, would have been a better avenue to take. I do want to say here, I'm not opposed to exploring new avenues to expand the use of our assets. But for me, as a legislator, I don't believe this is the right agreement for what we want to do. And I will be voting no against this resolution. And it's not because I don't want to head forward or use our assets. I think we need to have documents that are more fitting to what we do as a government and not broadcast so wide. Just in the first entry paragraph, it calls the Osage Nation an Oklahoma corporation. I mean, that's just wrong in that document. We're the Osage Nation. We're a federally recognized tribe of Indians. Just for those few things that I've said, I'm going to be voting no for this. I don't think this is going to have any trouble with passage, but that's just, I wanted to explain my vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other members who wish to speak for or against this resolution? Seeing none, Congresswoman Stabler, you have 8 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, I wanted to say that, of course, this is the completion of my first main session of Congress, and it's been wonderful, wonderful to experience, wonderful to work with everyone. Everybody's been so helpful and so cooperative and with me, helping me through this session. But I wanted to talk about this bill and this moment that we had today. And we had the same kind of moments with the LLC, and this is what I had hoped for and wished for, and that was collaborative conversation. We've had deep, intense conversations, different viewpoints, viewpoints that we all were one side or the other side, and switching sides and changing opinions, but it's all been done with the best emotions at heart for the nation. And this is one of those causes here. Those of us that are familiar with documents like this couldn't see a problem. Congresswoman Whitehorn did bring up some things that were a little bit of a heartburn, but when I first talked to the chief and the assistant chief about this bill, I had three questions. And my, you know, first question was, did the Attorney General's office approve this document? And the response was, the Attorney General's office wrote our document for us, and yes, they've approved it. And the second one was, is this going to benefit our entity that it refers to? And the answer was, yes, it's going to. And is this going to benefit the nation? Yes, it's going to. So from that moment, I felt a little bit of comfort going forward. And once I reviewed all the documents, I feel very comfortable with us stepping into this. This does put us into a new horizon. We have got all on our minds, this body, on the diversification of economic development. We're here. We're ready to step forward. We have a lot to learn, and every day will be a learning process. It's a learning process for me to learn about cattle ranching. Never had to do that. So this is exciting for me, and so is this project. This is exciting for me, and I hope it moves forward with every success, and I hope you can support this so we can allow the board and ourselves to become familiar, but the collaborative conversation today between the executive, the board, and the Congress, I thought was wonderful, and I certainly appreciated all the comments and all the arguments. I love all the arguments, too, so thank you very much, and I hope you will support this bill today.
Question is, shall the resolution pass?
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
No.
Congresswoman Gifford.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Abstain.
Speaker Walker.
Yes. The resolution passes and is referred to enrollment. That brings us to motions and notices. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I'd like to notice Congress that for them in their packet they have a couple of documents from Rose Rock CPAs. They are the CPA firm that has performed the nation's audit. I believe we have them 2 years or 1 year.
I think it seems like two.
It seems like they performed the nation's audit the past 2 years. The documents are before us are for a 3-year engagement or a 1-year engagement. I'm going to make a motion to approve the 1-year engagement with Rose Rock CPAs to engage in the nation's audit.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion regarding the motion?
I just wanted to say I don't believe it's an appropriate time to engage an auditor for 3 years at this time after today. I think we need to get one engaged for the next year, and moving forward, that can be somebody else's decision and it can be somebody else's responsibility to find another auditor to engage.
Any additional discussion regarding the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed, say no. Motion passes. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I move to direct the Congressional Affairs Committee to develop and present a plan for the new legislative building and to present any plan to move out of the Capitol building to Congress for consideration in a legislative session.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. Discussion. Congresswoman Whitehorn?
I'm aware that we've made some legislative maneuvers to consolidate our funds with a view on building us a new place to reside in up on the Hill. I think that that's the direction that the body wants to head. I believe that it needs to be a congressional decision on what it is we're going to house ourselves in. And I think it needs to be a congressional decision when we vacate our premises here with a vote of the body. So that's what this motion does.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
So any session?
A legislative session, regular, special.
And are you requesting that all 12 people be here, or is it going to be just a day that someone picks to put it out for a vote, or are you requesting that all members be here?
That's not in this motion. The first part of the motion is for the Congressional Affairs to develop and present a plan. So I would think that the plan presentation would be to 12 members of Congress. I haven't said how they have to do that. But I think that everybody needs to have a say or be on board or understand and know what we're doing. As far as vacating these premises, I think that we all ought to be in agreement that that's what we do also. I haven't lined out how I think that should happen, but I think it needs to happen in a legislative session.
Congressman Tillman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a point of order. Typically, is the Congressional Affairs Committee, do they have the power to make that decision without going to the rest of Congress? And I don't know, I'm just asking.
If that's a question, if that's a question directed at me,
or
get into the rules. I'll reply while she's looking through the rules that I don't think it would be inappropriate for the Congressional Affairs to discuss it, talk about it, and come up with a plan. I don't know how in depth of a plan she anticipates. Congresswoman Goodfox?
Well, I was second speaker when we made the decision to move down here. And I can't recall who all was on CA at the time. We had lengthy discussions in CA, but we did email the body of Congress. Now, some people didn't email back because they just didn't care. I mean, they were like, we don't care if we go to the Civic Center, we don't care if we go to the bank building. Some people said, we don't want to go to the Civic Center. CA, to my memory, did make decisions on the time frame without going through the body. I always kept the line of communication open and said, here are the dates that we have in front of us. We kind of polled Congress. It wasn't a formal presentation. We didn't vote on it, but we did poll Congress and say, everyone said, basically the majority said they wanted to come down here. And then from there, we did like dates and then said, this is when we're gonna move and pack up. But we were all, I would say, aware and knowledgeable about what the options were and the time frame.
Okay, before I acknowledge Congresswoman Whitehorn and Congresswoman Pratt, I'm going to read 7.3 of our rules, Congressional Affairs Committee. 7.32 says, the Congressional Affairs Committee shall undertake such additional duties as may hereafter be prescribed by these rules or referred to the committee by a vote of the majority of the members of Congress. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I agree with what Congresswoman Goodfox said about her recollection of how that happened, but the circumstances were different. We had to vacate premises.
Yes, that's true.
We could not stay there. We had to move. So I think there's some differences of opinion about moving, and that's good. That's how this body functions. But I'd like to get on record to request that the Congressional Affairs develop the plan for a new building and then present any plan to move out of this Capitol building for consideration at the full body. And I don't think that's out of order or inappropriate to ask.
Congresswoman Pratt, then Congressman Tillman, and then Congressman Potts. That's how I had it, unless I...
Right, no, that's right. I was just trying to actually remember, because how it happened was Congressman Tillman called me one night and said, here's a spot. The staff and I came down here, and I called, as Speaker, I called every member of Congress to say, hey, here's our three options, casino, civic center, or down here. And then the staff and I came down here to see if we can make it work. They thought it could work, and then we rolled from then, and the time frame was, we had a session coming up, and so, I mean, we were down here rolling sleeves up, shining, and down on our hands and knees, and I couldn't wait to work the buffer and things like that. So, I mean, that was the time frame.
Thank you for that.
But I do agree that, yeah, that we should all, if we're just going to up and head out of here now, I think the body should decide that.
Congressman Tillman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And one thing, it was never my intent to just develop a plan and say, here, Congress, deal with it. We made our decision. No, this is a huge decision, something that's going, in my mind, be monumental for the legislative body to be able to build a place, as Congressman Mason always says, our home. We've been homeless for quite some time now. We've got $900,000 to make a start. I do believe it will take more money. One thing I don't want to do is get into a Congressional Affairs Committee and do a ton of work and have non-members to that committee come in and start shooting it down. So I would advise you and ask you, please, when we have these CA committees, to please attend, because this item and this issue is very important, and it will save us a lot of time passing it out of committee and going in front of Congress and going, well, we don't like this, we don't like this. Let's get the job done in the committee. And your input is valued to me and us. And I want that input, cherish that input. But I don't want to waste the time of coming up with a plan and just going over and over, going back to committee and working on it. We could get this done and save us some time. Thank you.
Thank you. Congressman Potts.
I would echo the comments of Congressman Tillman. My recollection is kind of a hybrid of Congressman Goodfox and Congressman Pratt. I believe the initial decision was the immediate phone calls because of the nature of the need to vacate. But I believe the plan at the time was this was temporary. And then I do believe that the vote to move here was a vote of Congress. And then the Congressional Affairs Committee took over on the timetable and everything else to actually get staff and everybody located. That's my recollection. I believe the vote was we named the building as Congress.
There was after we got here. Mm-hmm. We didn't vote to come down here. I know that.
That's correct. The initial vote, or the initial move down here,
was
the phone call from the Speaker at the time. But the action of this is where we're going to be, I thought, was an action of Congress, and then Congressional Affairs implemented that move. I may be wrong in that, but that's how I recall that. But as a member of Congressional Affairs at this time, I would like the input from Congress. I don't necessarily want to make that decision on our own as a committee.
That's fair and needed to be said, because there are a lot of times there's work that's done and then they do get shot down at times. And just right quick before I recognize Congresswoman Stabler, I recall an email where we were polled about a potential move, but we are still, we're in discussion regarding a motion that Congresswoman Whitehorn has submitted, so let's try to keep that.
You're right, though. I called and emailed.
In mind during our discussions. Congresswoman Stabler, discussion regarding the motion.
Just that I'm one who attends the CA meetings as much as possible, and I encourage this, and I think this is a monumental decision, not just a monumental move, but a monumental decision. And so all members should be involved as much as possible.
Congressman Maker?
Excuse me, yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, I agree with what everybody's saying here, especially what Congressman Newman said. This is a decision for everybody, especially when it's going to take a large appropriation to do this. I don't know what it costs for us to move down here that day when we all packed our boxes up, but I don't think it was very much. But this next move is going to be a big, large appropriation. I don't think the CA has the authority to appropriate that much money on their own without the rest of the Congress involved in that decision.
Congressman Tillman.
I would just like to close, and before we repeat the motion, that I'm pretty capable of picking out trim and carpet tile. You can see across the wall. Sorry, didn't throw that out there.
I think that's necessary. Does anyone want the motion repeated?
Please.
Congresswoman Whitehorn. Oh. Congresswoman Whitehorn made a motion to direct the Congressional Affairs Committee to develop and present a plan for a new legislative building and to present any plan to move out of the Capitol building to the Congress for consideration in a legislative session. All of those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed say no. Okay, the motion carries. We're still in motions and notices. Congresswoman Pratt.
Speaker, I would like to have a commendation for presentation.
Okay.
I'd like to take care of that now.
Please do.
Thank you, Speaker. Members of Congress, good evening. I have a commendation today for, and I love commendations, but I also hate that it only allows for so much room on the commendation, especially when there is so much to say about this individual. So I, this is for Hallie Winter, our Osage Nation Museum Director and Curator, and as you know, she is leaving, or she has left officially. Are you gone as of today? Oh, okay. Well, and we're really proud of her. I'm very proud of her. So as we know, our museum is the oldest tribally owned museum in the country and was opened in 1938. But in 2015, Hallie Winter came from Buffalo, New York to fill the position of curator and director of the Osage Nation Museum. And she came to us as an extremely talented and highly qualified Osage woman. And I'm very proud of that, as I know we all are. And so because I can't, I'm gonna try to quickly state some of the things she has done. As you recall, she's shared this information with us, with the Congress members, has invited us numerous times to the events that she's held. But when she came, and the staff that also came shortly behind her, they got to work. And so a few of the things she went through was the American Alliance of Museums Museum Assessment Program. So you recall she sent us the map that they had applied for that, and then she sent us the results after that. But that is a program that helps museums improve their operations by helping identify their strengths and weaknesses while providing guidance to address priorities and goals. And it reviewed the museum's entire operation, including mission, planning, interpretation, and education, marketing, collections, administration, finance, and governance. And that on-site visit was conducted between June 7th and 9th in 2016. And they did receive funding to assist with the result of that program that she went through. And then they also did the collections assessment for preservation, which she also sent us the CAP that's called the CAP. The other was the MAP and then the CAP. And she also sent us that information as that assessment was completed. And on March 31st, 2017, the Osage Nation Museum was one of 75 institutions from across the country selected to participate in the Collections Assessment for Preservation CAP program funded by the Institute of Museum and Library Services. And it assists museums in improving the care of their collections by providing support for a conservation assessment of of the museum's collections and buildings. And they also prepared a comprehensive report that helped to identify preventive conservation priorities. I know that you all are familiar, but I just wanted to state it for anyone else who doesn't know the wonderful job that she's done. They have a lot of museum activities. She's been instrumental in bringing our community in as a whole to the museum. And so she's had outdoor movie events. Those are always fun for the children and families. That's a neat thing that was added. The fifth quarter movies, book readings, the art workshops that's taken place. She's been highlighting different artists, Yadika Fields, Dina Gray, Wendy Ponca, the Traditional Values Contemporary Vision works by Gina Gray. They've recently had the Osage Wedding Coats exhibit, Enduring Images, Osage Photographic Portraiture. They've done many research for the community constituents that come in and would like for them to assist with research. In 2014, there were 4,000, fiscal year 2014, 4,672 visitors. In 2015, 4,705, and there was a time frame, 7 months, where the museum was closed for renovations. So that was 3,875, but in 2017, there were 9,646 visitors. And I realized that a lot of that is, you know, the tourists coming into our community, what's happening downtown, but I also strongly believe that it has a lot to do with the work that Hallie Winter has done at the Osage Nation Museum. She's applied for much grant funding opportunities from the Institute of the Museum and Library Services. She's been instrumental in the new data tracking for the collections. I believe that was in 2017, there were 417 new objects acquired. Donations has gone up during her tenure here. Many images have been digitized and along with the money that she's applied to be able to do so. And total objects on view in exhibits was 1,798. And she's assisted her staff, showing good leadership as a director, allowed and assisted her staff in receiving additional professional development. So there's been lots of collaboration with colleges, and she's been asked to speak at the American Alliance of Museums annual meeting. She attends the regional gatherings throughout the nation. She's been instrumental in getting the museum up and out there in social media. Facebook and what's one of the other ones? Instagram. So I think she's just really done a good job to highlight our museum in a fresh new way. And I appreciate all the work that she's done. And like I said, it was wonderful to have her come in and meet her and spend this time with us. I hate to see her go. One other thing, I think it will be hindered, but she was also nominated and received the Nancy Hanks Award for Professional Excellence by the American Alliance of Museums. And it's gonna slip my mind, but that is a national very, very hard to earn award, and it is awarded to museum professionals with, I believe, less than 10 years experience. I'm sorry if I didn't say that right, Hallie. but it was a pretty big deal, and I'm really proud of her. So I'm not going to fit it all in, what she's done for us as a nation and our Osage Nation Museum that we're all very proud of, but at this time, I would like to read the commendation, and then I will make the motion, and then present this to Ms. Winter. Oh, she's also a newlywed, so congratulations for that. Her mother and husband are here with her. Hallie, at this time, on behalf of the Osage Nation Congress, this is a citation of commendation for Hallie Winter. Whereas Hallie Winter has dedicated over 3 years of service to the Osage Nation and its people as the director and curator of the Osage Nation Museum. And whereas Hallie Winter has revitalized the Osage Nation Museum from a 77-year-old assortment of tradition-bound exhibits to a fresh, innovative, and transformative space. And whereas Hallie Winter has made outstanding contributions to the Osage Nation Museum by overseeing the renovation of the museum, implementing across-the-board professionalization, renewing community engagement and trust, and displaying indisputable commitment. And whereas Hallie Winter has provided the Osage Nation with remarkable leadership through her contributions to the museum that will be enjoyed by generations of Osage people and museum visitors. And whereas Hallie Winter was awarded the Nancy Hanks Award for Professional Excellence by the American Alliance of Museums. And whereas Hallie Winter has accepted a position as the Collections Manager for the American Indians Cultural Center and Museum, which is a testament to her accomplishments here at the Osage Nation. And whereas Hallie Winter has earned the admiration and the respect of her community for her leadership, dedication, and years of service to the Osage Nation Museum. Now therefore, pursuant to the motion, I'm making a motion, of Congresswoman Angela Pratt, the Osage Nation Congress extends to Hallie Winter sincere commendation and directs that this citation be presented. I make this motion.
Seconded by everyone. All of those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. Motion carries.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'd like to just say a couple of words. Thank you for allowing me to serve our great nation and our people. It's been a wonderful experience. Today's a little bittersweet for me, but I do wish the best for the museum going forward, and I am committed to its continued growth, and I will still be around. So thank you so much. I very much appreciate this, and it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to allow the assistant chief to say something.
Well, on top of all that, she was just named Native American 40 under 40, which is a very elite group of people under that age group. Native American, she's been recognized for that also. She's just been the best. So thank you for coming.
We are still in motions and notices. So it's my turn to give the end of session report, so take a stab at this, try to make it relatively short. We had Six committee meetings, 8 appropriation meetings, 1 membership meeting, 3 congressional affairs meetings, 1 rules and ethics meeting, 12 health and social services meetings, 5 education meetings, 12 government ops meetings, 11 commerce, gaming, and land meetings, and 6 culture meetings. There were 44 bills filed. 33 bills were voted on, There were 10 resolutions filed and 10 were voted on. As a result of all of the committee meetings and the bills and resolutions that were voted on, total appropriations for the Osage Nation was a whopping $102,849,067. Out of the Government Operations Committee, the legislative budget was voted on and passed at $2,289,343. The judicial branch budget was $551,737. The executive branch budget was $75,591,615, which obviously included a significant amount of federal funds. Indirect cost budgets were $2,404,805. Osage Nation benefits that were appropriated. There was $9,750,000 appropriated to the Health Benefit Plan Fund, $8,150,000 to the Higher Education Scholarship Plan Fund, $500,000 to the Burial Assistance Fund, and $25,000 to the Regional Gathering Fund. There were various projects that included a cultural donations in the amount of $93,500. There was a $644,551 appropriation to the Capital Asset and Improvement Fund for various projects. There was a $1,100,000 appropriation out of the retained revenue fund for the Gray Horse Community Building. Just today, on top of that, there was an additional $293,516, which included a $140,000 appropriation for arts and matching grants to the foundation. There was a wastewater facility appropriation for $100,000 for the lagoon project in Gray Horse, and $53,516 was appropriated to home health. Don't have a speech, and I know that nobody's in the mood for one right now, but I just want to say thank you to everyone. I've enjoyed myself. I was talking to somebody just a day or two ago, and they asked me how things were going. I said, I think from my perspective, they've gone pretty well, and I am ready to not be sleeping so well. So with that said, again, thank you. Thanks to the staff. I mean, big staff. Let's give them a hand. And the committee chairs. Yeah. No, really. This has been the smoothest budgeting session that I've been a part of, and it wasn't because of me. It was because of the committee chairs and their work. So, with that said, go Huskies. All right, thank you. Congresswoman Buff, good Fox.
Motion to adjourn the session.
Motion to adjourn this session by Congresswoman Goodfox, seconded by Congressman Mason. Discussion seeing none. The session is adjourned.
Go Bucks.
Wow.